This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
It's certainly a joy and a blessing to be with you here today and to be able to share some of the things that are dear to my heart. I've often said that when you love something, it's not hard to talk about it. If you don't believe that, listen to me talk about my wife. Yeah? Developing a servant heart. Do you desire to be a servant of the Lord? I want you to think about that very seriously this afternoon. Do you really desire to be a servant for God? On the surface, we can all say, yes. But are we? You might add to that and say, well, I'm a Christian. Isn't that enough? Is that enough? I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Jesus told a story here, and I want to share it with you. Matthew chapter 25, beginning to look at verse 14, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now, it uses the word talents here, and it says he gave to one five, gave to another one two, and gave to another one one. I'd like to change that word, if I may. It was a measure, in our setting, a measure of spiritual value, a spiritual knowledge, a spiritual experience. And God gave that to these men, gave one five measures, another one two measures, another one measure. And if you look at that, and he goes into a far country, and then he comes back eventually, and he takes stock. What have you done with that which I've given you? And I'd like to really get to the meat of this message, because he's not talking about wheat or barley or grapes. He is talking about spiritual measure that he has given to every one of you. And what are you doing with it? How have you put it to work? Has it gained? Has it progressed? And let's remember, the story is not about the increase, the story is about the kingdom of heaven. What are you doing for the kingdom of heaven? What is your passion for the kingdom of heaven? How are you actually working out with that which God has given you in the kingdom of heaven? And as you think about that, I want to call your attention to verses 28 through 30. So the master comes back and he begins asking these servants, what have you done? And one comes to him and said, you gave me five measures of spiritual value, and I've put it to work, and it has gained five more. It has doubled in its, it has increased a hundredfold. The man that he had given only two measures of spiritual value to, but he also put it to work, and you know what? His gain was exactly the same, a hundredfold. Then he comes to the man that had only one, and that man said, my paltry little bit didn't amount to anything, so I just dug a hole and I buried it, so it'd be in safekeeping, and when you come back, I give it to you. I want you to notice what is said about that man. Beginning to read in verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath, and cast... Notice that. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you think it is a light thing that we receive from the hand of God spiritual blessings, spiritual knowledge, spiritual experience, and we just bury it? Think about that. This is serious business. God is expecting you and me to take that which he has given us, little though it be, and put it to work for his glory. We have absorbed far too much of the Protestant ideology of salvation in this, that we say, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'll miss hell because I'm saved. I'll get to heaven because I'm saved. But you know something? There's another aspect to being saved from our sins. And that's to be filled with the Spirit of God and become a channel through which we become a blessing by sharing with others the gospel of the kingdom. And that's what this servant did not do. And the end result was he was cast into outer darkness. There was weeping and gnashing of teeth. But before you can truly be a servant of the Lord, you have to have a servant's heart. You can't be a servant without having a heart to serve. And to have a heart to serve, how do we get that? How do we acquire a heart that wants to serve Christ by serving others? In fact, if you go into the rest of this very chapter, you find that idea that we serve Christ by serving others. I believe one of the major reasons that many Christians are unfulfilled in their Christian walk and experience is because they see themselves as saved by God, but they fail to see themselves as servants of God. There's a big difference. God didn't save us just so that we miss hell or just that we make heaven, but also he saved us to serve. Are we serving him? How are we serving him? Jesus used the parable of the man who was beaten and robbed. And he was laying by the side of the road, almost dead. And you know the story, how the priest came by. Now, he was a professional, and he was well-versed in all the order of the temple. He knew everything that had to go on in the temple for the sake of worship, the right kind of services that were to be held, the right kind of feasts that were to be held, the right kind of offerings that were to be given. He knew all that, but he passed by on the far side. He had no heart to serve. The Levite came by, and he may have been studying or reciting some of the long passages of Scripture that he had studied. I don't know what he was thinking, but as he was walking along, there, no doubt, his mind was on the fact, I am a Levite, and I know the Scriptures. I've studied the Scriptures, and he was full of Scriptures, no doubt. But when he saw the man, he looked on him, but he didn't have a heart to serve. Here comes the Samaritan, the hated Samaritan. And that man had a heart to serve. He didn't have what the other men had. He didn't come from a background that had true doctrine. But he was there at the moment where there was a need, and he filled the need. That's the heart of a servant. And that's what I need. That's what you need in order to be a servant. I was standing in the restroom at Walmart, washing my hands. And as I was washing my hands, beside me I heard this. Here's what it sounded like. And I looked over, here stood an African American about my age. And I said, are you all right? And he said, no. I said, what's wrong? He said, I'm so dizzy. I can't drive home. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, can I pray for you? And he said, yes. Here's this little deacon from Minerva with his hands on this big black fellow, you know, and I'm praying for him, and people are walking behind us going in and out of the restroom, you know. Nobody reported us that I know of. And then I took him over to the pharmacy department, and I bought him, he said, I don't have any money. I said, you need something. I bought him Dramamine. Gave him Dramamine and a Coke where he could sit down. I said, don't you try to drive home. Do you have somebody you can call? Yeah, but I don't have any money for a phone call. Here's my phone. Call, you know. Just, you know, there's a need, and we can fill it. And we need to be watching for those needs. It's not all done in big crowds like this. Sometimes it's just one-to-one here and there. And we need to be open to that. And so I shared with this man. And later I had him sit there. And when I was done shopping, I came back by, and he was still sitting there. I said, how are you feeling? He said, much better. I got a hold of my son, and he's going to come pick me up. I said, great. He thanked me, just so gracious. He just loved it. Well, how do we develop a servant heart? Now, we can read a book, and that's, I've been mightily moved in my life by certain books that I have read. They're dear to my heart. They've really impressed me, and that's good. But that didn't give me a servant's heart. It helps, but that's not the end of it. Now, we can take a course on missions, and that's a help, but that doesn't give us a servant heart either. I was in a meeting, and I was showing slides for Christian Aid Ministries, billboard evangelism, and as I was giving that slide, at the end, I had almost used up all my time, and I opened it for questions and answers, and they popped up like popcorn, bing, 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 you know. And I thought, I've got to shut this thing down. And finally, you know how you do. You say, we have time for one more question. A man in the audience raised his hand, and here was his question. How do you learn to respond to callers like you do? And I didn't want to spend another 10 or 15 minutes explaining to him how we learn. I looked at him. I said, sir, do you know how to swim? And he said, yes. I didn't say another word. I just looked at him. And everybody got to tittering. I said, how did you learn? He got in the water. That's how he learned. And you know what? We can take all the courses and read all the books, but to develop a servant's heart, you got to get in the water. You have to engage people. You have to be there, and you have to overcome some of your inhibitions and just reach out. There they are. They have a need. Fill the need. And that's how you develop a servant's heart. It's by doing. It's by experience. Well, I was drafted at 19 and a half years of age, and I was dating already, and I was looking forward to potentially marriage in the future, and I recognized that if I go into VS, they don't pay anything, so how are you going to get married on practically nothing? Well, that's not all. My dad had helped me buy a car, and I owed him for my half of that car. So he was a big help to me, but I was kind of, you know, I had Lansen, not oxen, but a Corvair. And one of those, not a Corvette, that's different. Corvair, rear engine, and they don't last very long. Nonetheless, you know, I considered going where I would get a normal wage rather than VS. But God sent a messenger to me, and that was Brother William McGrath. He showed up at our church one Sunday, and he preached a message. And me, I went up to him afterwards, shook his hand, and just simply said, you know, I appreciated that message. Now, preachers have a certain protocol. I don't know if you know this or not, but when you shake hands, you go one, two, three, and then you turn loose. He didn't. He just hung on. And I'm there trying to figure out how to get loose, you know. And he looks me right in the eye and he says, say, aren't you about draft age? I had already got my draft papers. And I said, yes, I am. He said, have you considered the VS unit in Zanesville, Ohio? And I said, no, I didn't even know it existed. And he said, oh, yes, you need to think about that. Well, I thought about it. I argued with God. I had a long argument with God why I can't go into VS. You know, God is a strange person to argue with. Here's what he does. He lets you win all the arguments, and then you get a little peace inside. And then he says, but I want you to go. You can't fight it, you know. And so Ruth and I prayed about this. Wasn't getting any peace. We fasted one Saturday, and we prayed. I went to Zanesville. And it was such a blessing because God had something he wanted to teach me, working with sick people, people that were suffering, people that were dying, people that had broken necks, they were paralyzed, young people, 15 years old, can't move their legs, a family with their only son unconscious for 6 months, and you see the hope in their eyes die, and you stand around that bedside with that family and you pray with them. God needed to teach me compassion. That's getting in the water. That's minding the Spirit of God. That is learning to hear the voice of God in your life. That was more important than even the ministry of being there. Learning to discern the voice of God in your life is going to be one of the most important things you'll ever do. Jesus said it like this, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And if you know the voice of the shepherd, you really do know it. And so when he speaks to you, it is alive. You know that. You can't shake it. It's there. Well, God taught me compassion. But God wasn't finished with me. I was mowing the lawn. We were young, married, and we were expecting our first child. And the preacher and his family showed up. There I am out there mowing the lawn. Do I stop? I guess I had to. Preacher, you know. So the preacher is there, and we go into the kitchen, and we all sit around the table, and we start chatting. And I couldn't figure out, why is he coming to see me? What did I do wrong? And we talk for a bit, and then after a while, he says, I guess you know why I came. And my heart did a pitter-patter, you know. And his wife said, don't scare him. Then he said, we came to ask you to be our school teacher next year. I was so relieved, I laughed out loud. Such a ridiculous request. Me? I'm not that kind of a person. I prayed about it, and the voice of the shepherd said, teach. And I taught. You know why? God wanted to give me some lessons in communication. And when you can communicate with children, you can communicate with adults as well. When you can speak to children in a way that they get it, I learned. I'm not sure about the students, but I learned. And God taught me that. But God gave me a dissatisfaction after 2 years of teaching. And I just longed to be back in the hospital. I love that work. And so we get in our little car and we're headed for Zanesville. I have an appointment with the head of nursing to see if I can go back to work down there. And on the way, we pass the deacon's house. He's been gone for 6 weeks in just a little private mission, all his own down there in Cayo, Belize. And I see his car is back. After 6 weeks of being gone, his car is back. I said, Ruth, we got to stop in and say hi. So we whipped in. They said, come into the house right away. They just said, come in. We have so much to share with you. And I said, we can't. We have an appointment. You have an appointment? Where are you going? Zanesville. What are you going to do there? Well, we're thinking about going back to work there. And he knew that that would mean a move. We'd have to move someplace. He said, if you're going to move, go with us. Go back to Belize and help us start a church there. You know what I did? I laughed out loud. I'm learning not to laugh. We went to Belize. God knew I needed to be taught several things. One, how to live in close proximity, in peace and harmony, two families in one house. And how to have that cross-cultural experience, because I had no idea what God had in the future. You know, I had a little canoe trip with Ruth, not a trip, just one afternoon before we were married. And I'm paddling along. I said, just lay your paddle down, because she would always paddle and we'd go in a circle. I knew how to control this thing, so I just said, lay your paddle down. And as we were going up this creek, she looks at me and she says, Johnny, do you think God has in mind that we would simply, you know, maybe get married someday and raise a family and grow old and die? Sounds good to me, I said. She said, I think God has something more in mind than that. And he did. And so God has spoken to us in numerous instances, and we have heard the voice of God, recognized it, and it's been a tremendous blessing. I want you to develop a heart for God, a heart of a servant, that you are willing to serve. You're a giver, and that you enjoy ministering to people. There is no greater mission in life than to minister to the souls of people. And I have a friend who came from a broken home. When he graduated, he went to a Christian businessman that was very successful in our area. And he said, what am I going to do with my life? And this businessman said, well, it depends on what you want. And I'm going to ask you the same question. What do you really want? Bottom line, what do you really want in life? I think that's an important question for every one of us. We ask the question, what is the most important thing in life? And we can quote a scripture, fear God and keep his commandments. That is true. To be saved from our sins, yes. But I think one of the greatest fulfillments that we'll ever have in life is when we are able to minister to the hearts of others. And so this whole idea of ministering to others is very, very important. So we have many opportunities, and you've heard a number of them up here today, and there's more to come, of needs for personnel to work in numerous ministries around the world. What are you doing about that? Do you have a desire to really minister? Well, this wealthy man told this young fellow who's just starting out in life, here's what he said to him. He said, if you want to make money, get into real estate. There's money to be made in real estate, if that's what you want. Now, he went on to say, but if you want to really have a fulfilled life, minister to people. That man had a little car lot of used cars. I went there to buy a car one day, and I couldn't find him. I looked all around. He wasn't among the cars. So I walked through and looked at cars that could potentially be something I'd be interested in. I went up to the little shack where he stays, and he wasn't there. I went up to the door to see if it was locked, and I looked through the door. It had a big glass in it, and there he is. He's there. He's on his knees. He's got a man beside him, and he's praying with someone. This was a used car dealer. He wasn't a Mennonite, because he'd be out there trying to sell a car, probably. But yeah, when people would come to him, they would just be pouring out their heart, and he'd be there listening. He had a listening ear, and that's something that every servant has. A servant heart has a listening ear, a compassionate ear, and you listen to the voice of God, and you listen to people who are hurting. God is developing within the servant heart compassion and endurance, patience. What is it that you really desire? I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 37. This has become a very precious psalm to me. What do you really want? And in verse 3, it says this. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I'd like to make a spiritual application to that. You will not be an anemic Christian if you truly trust in the Lord and do good. Then it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, when we really trust in the Lord, he is going to he's going to bless us. And when we delight in him, you know, he's going to give us the desire of our heart. Now, the desire of the heart has got to be getting closer to God, ministering to people. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he shall and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. When we commit ourselves to God and we trust in him, we're willing to step out into areas that we've never experienced before. And God has a way of helping prepare us for those very things. And then we also have to realize that we need to rest in the Lord. That's important. That we know him so well that we can relax and rest in him without being worried. You know, I had many experiences where my wife's elbow went in the middle of the night, and I go, ooh. And she says, somebody's under the house. This is in Belize. They're sitting up on these pillars. I listen a little bit. I identify the sound. It's a dog scratching his collar. And after a while, you know, again, she, you know, gives me another punch. And one time she gave me a punch, and it was a dark, foggy night. You couldn't see more than about 20 feet. And she said, somebody's getting the chickens. And I listened. Oh, you could have heard the chickens. They were really, really going for it. Just squawking and flopping. You could hear them knocking over stuff in the feeders and things, you know. So I get up and I get my clothes on and I run for the chicken house as hard as I can go. And I get up there and all of a sudden I look over to my left and there's the guy. He's got white chickens in either hand. And he's got his head is down low and he's just looking at me. And I felt the hair rise up on the back of my neck, and I got my finger up, and I said, sir? And it changed. It was a plow with shiny plowshares. And Walter had put a box on top with a big round rock in it, you know? Fear does strange things to you. Trust in the Lord and do good. Rest also in him. 2 Timothy, turn to that if you will. In 2 Timothy, we have a scripture that says this, verse 22, chapter 2, verse 22. It says, flee also youthful lusts. That is the heart of a servant. We flee youthful lust. We don't want lust to be a part of our life. That illicit desire does not belong in our hearts because it will stifle the voice of God. And we won't be a profitable servant. And then it says, not only the negative, don't negate only the negative, but then it says, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. A servant's heart is a pure heart. You know the voice of the Lord, and you want to follow him. You want to be a conduit through which God can speak to many people. And then you go on, and it says this, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. You know, when you're on the mission field, sometimes you can raise questions that gender strife, and the Bible says don't do that. And it tells us that we are to avoid those, knowing that they do gender strife. Then verse 24 says this, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. You know what? Most of our conflicts on the mission field are not between the missionaries and the people that we go to minister to. The conflict comes within the missionary camp. Missionary to missionary. Something's wrong with that picture. Something is very wrong with that picture. Servants cannot strive. The Bible is saying that. We dare not strive. Why? Because we are tarnishing the ministry of Christ when we do that. It is much better to take an injustice, a false accusation. Don't stand up and say how right you are. Take it. And just be meek and humble about it. Then it goes on to say in verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. And so we must be of this character that we do not strive, but we are working for one cause, and that is to lift up the kingdom of Christ and allow him to work in us. So without these qualities, you'll never, never develop a servant's heart. You won't. You have to have these qualities. And I want to share something with you. I was preaching in a church. I knew most of the people in that church, and there I was preaching night after night in revival services. And a lady said, I got a note for you where you normally sit. I want you to have that note. She said, we won't be there tonight. We have to leave, and you'll be gone by the time we get back. So I said, okay. I got there, and I got the note, you know, and I put it inside my pocket. And I went home with it, or the place where I was staying. And I opened it up, and I read it. And here's what it said. Never become proud of the abilities that God has given you, because God gave me, she was talking about herself, God gave me the ability to write. And that lady had written many powerful articles, tremendous articles. And she said this in this note. She said, I became proud of my pen, and God took it away. I've never forgotten that. And a servant can never be proud. A servant must be meek and humble. It is the only way to truly hear the voice of God. Pray for God to open a door of experience where you will begin to learn the lessons that God wants you to have. He's preparing you. Believe it or not, some well-meaning minister's wife wrote me a letter after I was ordained as a deacon. And here's what the letter said. She said, you were in the lot 10 years ago, and you were not ordained. And now you've been called into the ministry. I'm sorry that there were those 10 wasted years. Lord, forgive her. Those weren't wasted years at all. Those were years of preparation. They were years that God was speaking to my heart, calling me to what he wanted me to be. I needed those years. They weren't wasted. They were precious. Pray for God to open a door of experience whereby you can develop, by the hand of the Almighty, a servant's heart. And then pray for a place to use it. God bless you.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.